just want to make a connection there. So welcome to worship. I hope that you've had a good time getting here. I know it can be stressful, you know, getting ready early in the morning, so let's take a big deep breath. But before we get there, do we have announcements? Scott, do you have any?
I'd like to welcome Larry and Sue Seidel in our congregation this morning. We'll be welcoming them a couple more times today as well.
Yeah. Various times.
Everybody will get time to meet them.
Yes. And the pronunciation is Cedo?
Cedo.
Cedo. Okay. I have to practice it as well because I'm very visual and it, like my name, doesn't look like it's pronounced.
As long as we get there in time for dinner, we'll
tell you. Very good.
Just one more thing. Yes. Friday, Jake will be bowling in Special Olympics this coming Friday. So we wish him luck. Hope that he does good. He's going to be bowling doubles this year with Jamie, so it should be interesting. We'll let you know how he does when he's done with area games.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other announcements for the good of the community, John?
After the second lesson, we will have a bell solo by Mike Lawson, a duet with Julie. And my wife, Laura, are summer birds, and they're going back to that icky state of Florida this week. So,
it's hot and sticky there.
But they do enjoy God's country, and so you're welcome to come look at Mike as he plays his solo with Julie accompanying, and that'll be right after the second lesson.
Excellent, thank you. Thank you, that's a good reminder because I'm the one that barrels through things and doesn't let people sing, so. You have my permission to, like, if I mess up, just start playing and maybe shut up. All right, all the announcements done for this morning? All right, now take a couple of big deep breaths. Prepare yourselves for worship. Please stand for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn is 641.
Thank you.
God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading this morning is from Jeremiah 11, 18 through 20. Today's reading tells of the suffering of the prophet Jeremiah, who announced God's word to Judah, but was met with intense opposition and persecution. Jeremiah continues to trust in God in the midst of his suffering. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew, then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered. But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who dry the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. The words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 54 responsibly today. God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause.
Hear my prayer, O God. Give ears to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life, those who have no regard for God.
Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life.
Render evil to those who spy on me. In your faithfulness, destroy them.
I will offer you a freewill sacrifice and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eye looks down on my enemies. Second reading is from James 3:13 through 4:3 and 7-8. The wisdom God gives unites our hearts and minds. Instead of living to satisfy our own wants and desires, we manifest this wisdom in peace, gentleness, mercy, and impartiality towards others. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something to do. You want something and do not have it. So you commit murder, and you covet something, and cannot obtain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have, because you do not ask. You ask, and you do not receive, because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the ninth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called all the 12 together, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'm going to be daring and invite the kids to come forward. You know, because it's the gospel, right? So are you going to bring any of your friends? No? Ellie, are you going to bring your friends?
Oh, no. Way too long.
No? All right. I saw maybe one or two. So I'm doing what Jesus did. Jesus took a child and put it among the disciples. And Jesus was not teaching the children, but using it as an object lesson for the disciples. So that's what I'm doing. So I want you guys to stand up so that everybody can see your beautiful faces. Do you see these children? These children mimic everything that we do. When the bell choir was playing, the two girls were using their Barbies, right? And they were beating it like you were back there. And they I think Ellie was directing. What's your name?
Tessa.
Was directing Tessa, because Tessa was just going. Ellie's like, "Nah." So she's like, "You have to stop and wait." And then it was so amazing. It was absolutely gorgeous. You guys were wonderful. Yes, Tessa. Did you have a question?
This is Ellie.
Right, that's Ellie. So I was just listening to you, so I'm not sure which one was. Were you telling her to wait? Tessa, were you telling her to wait? No, she was telling you to wait. Yeah, see? There you go. So what we need to remember is whenever we act, when children see us as we act, children will mimic what we do, which makes it so critically important. If we talk about passing on the faith to our children, to these beautiful children in our midst, we need to make sure that we're doing it faithfully and honestly. Yes, sir.
At Sunday school, we do that too.
Do you? You do the bells? Or what do you do at Sunday school?
We do we play and eat some snacks and watch about Jesus.
Well, what do you think about Jesus?
I think Jesus made all the mountains.
Yes, I think so too. High five. And you live in a very beautiful mountainous place. So, Ellie, what do you think about Jesus?
He gives the grown-ups their things, and then the kids will all think it's fun, so they try to demand them.
I think that's true, too. Way to go. High five to you. And Tessa, what do you think about Jesus?
I think that Jesus made food for everyone to eat.
Amen, sister. High five. If I were not as old as I am, I'd have stood up. It takes me a while to stand up. So I want to thank you very much for daring to come forward, and I want you to show these wonderful teachers of ours gratitude. That was not so much the children's sermon as it was a prelude to the adults. And they were very brave. So, it wasn't too long ago that I was here. I was here mid-August, so I think it's been about 6 weeks maybe since I was here, and it's a joy to be with you again. For those of you who weren't here on that Sunday and don't know who I am, my name is Sarah Manning, and it's spelled funny, just like Pastor Larry's is spelled funny, but it is Manning, and my title is Assistant to the Bishop for Congregational Life. So I go around to different congregations throughout our very large synod and help congregations that are in the midst of transition. So it is lovely to be with you again. It's good to see you. She was my synod assembly partner, so we connected. So today is a pretty important day. Today is the beginning of a new chapter of your journey together as a faith community, as St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Wyoming. And the reason that today is the beginning of this next chapter is that we have in the house the Reverend Larry Cito. Did I do it right? I got the end right. I knew I got the E right, but the Cito. And his lovely wife, Susan. They moved up here from Roswell, New Mexico, to be with all of you over the next year or so as you walk this new chapter of your life together, this new leg of your journey as the people of God. So Jesus walked with his people, too, passing through Galilee on the way to Capernaum. And when they arrived in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" It's a great question for us human types because we have a propensity to argue. We like arguing about things, not sure why, sin, you know, there's a lot of reasons why perhaps. But the disciples had been arguing about who among them was the greatest, right? I mean, that's that sense of rivalry. I remember as a kid, we used to say or ask my mother all the time, "Which one do you love the best? You love me the best, right, Mom?" And she would say, "I love you the best as the best middle child." I, of course, was the middle child. You can tell by my, you know, theatrics. And then she would say to my brother, "I love you the best because the best oldest child." And my little sister, "I love you the best youngest child." She was very diplomatic. But you can see how, I mean, any of you ever get that sense of, "Mom loved me the best, right?" You're not going to admit it, are you? Really? All right, there's a small shaking of the head. I won't call him out. But there's somebody that does sort of understand that. So can't you just hear the disciples in your mind saying, "I'm Jesus' favorite. He let me sit next to him at dinner last night. He likes me best." And the other one saying, "Yeah, but he gave me a hug before retiring last night, so he loves me the best." And then the next one saying, "Well, I helped heal 3 people yesterday in the marketplace. That makes me the most important." Can't you just hear the disciples saying those kinds of things? Rivalry, self-righteousness, selfishness, these are human tendencies that diminish the kingdom of God. Covetousness is the source of rivalry. Think about the 10 commandments and those last 2 that go on for a really long time. Whenever you covet what your neighbor has, whether it's a really cool car or a house or a spouse or a donkey, it goes on and it's a very different generation. Because I'm guessing if I asked you anybody coveted your neighbor's donkey, you wouldn't raise your hand for that either, right? Okay. Maybe. You got a donkey next door? This is Buffalo. All right, yeah. Selfishness is the source of strife. The letter of James asks 2 similar and important questions. Did you hear it when he was so beautifully reading today? Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? Isn't that true that even in the inside of us, the good parts of us and the bad parts of us are always struggling? And I think there's an old Native American saying that the beast that wins is the one that you feed. You know, the 2 wolves fighting within you. If you feed the negative one, that one's going to win. And if you feed the positive one, that one's going to win. Cravings, desires, wanting what you do not have, wanting what someone else has, prestige, wealth, power. The disciples had been arguing about who among them was the greatest. So Jesus sat them down and began teaching. Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. The kingdom of God turns our human tendencies upside down. What we as human beings think is the most important, Jesus says, no, that's the least important. And the things that we think is the least important, Jesus says, no, that's the most important. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all. Whoever wants to be first must be servant of all. Our life is a journey, walking from one place to another, from Roswell to Buffalo, from Florida to Buffalo. Our life is a journey. And all along this pilgrim journey, we are trying to make sense of our meaning, our purpose, why God put us here in this place, at this time, in this particular situation. What Jesus, I mean, Jesus, the Son of God, the firstborn of all creation, through whom all things were created, the Savior of the world, says, and we all ought to be doing this, because when Jesus speaks, we ought to listen. Jesus says about being the best, about being first, that we must come last, and we must be servant. Jesus raises up humility, gentleness, caring for the most vulnerable, our children among us. Then Jesus took a small child. If I knew them better, I'd bring him up here again, but I don't want to scare him. Jesus took a small child in his arms, and he was surrounded by the disciples, the 12, and all the people that hung out with him, that journeyed with them. Those who had been arguing about who was the greatest, and said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. The antidote, the cure for human rivalry, wanting to beat out others for the top position, is to turn towards the most vulnerable, a small child perhaps, and focus the attention there. That's how we get outside of ourselves when we're falling for the next right thing, the next best thing, to be first, is to focus our attention on the most vulnerable. Because in welcoming the least among us, we welcome Jesus Christ. Our life is a journey, a complicated, twisty, not straight path. Along the journey, we encounter hills and valleys, obstacles and brambles, beloved companions, wise sages, tricksters, and people who need us desperately. We stumble. We find joy. For those of us who follow Jesus Christ, we strive, we pray, we yearn for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Human tendency is to argue, to fight with one another, to make lines about who's in and who's out. We want to be first. We want to be the greatest over and against all others. But divine tendency, divine wisdom, turns these desires upside down. Last spring, I read an article about an emotion that was first identified by Thomas Jefferson. Not really somebody that you quote like in churchy sorts of areas, but I was fascinated by this article. In 1771, Thomas Jefferson named this this emotion moral elation or moral elevation. I was really impressed with the article because I've always been interested in human development or the mind-body connection. Jefferson named this moral elation, and today, researchers, like research scientists today, have found evidence that it's a thing. It's a real thing. The current definition for this moral elation or moral elevation is this: a warm, uplifting feeling that we experience when we see unexpected acts of kindness, courage, or compassion. It often makes us want to help others and become better people. That's the current definition of what this is. Jefferson's definition, or Jefferson's description, I think, is there's a triggering event, like watching the tenderness of two small children playing together in the midst of worship. Right? I find that very tender myself. I'm a, you know, pushover for small children. So a triggering event, watching this tenderness, is witnessing moral beauty. A physical sensation happens. I get goosebumps. I'm not sure about you, but that's when I know that it's a holy moment, because the goosebumps go up and down my arms. There's a physical sensation. The chest dilates. This is the science, the chest dilating. That's the scientific fact. The chest dilates. A motivation comes. You want to then help others. You want to then be as tender and as kind as these two little girls are being to each other. That emotional response. You're uplifted, optimistic. My husband did his dissertation like many years ago on the whole like hormones that are released in the brain. So I had to text him this morning. What are those hormones called again? He said endorphins. That when you see something tender, like children playing well together, like somebody offering a cup of cold water to a traveler or a stranger, the endorphins are released in our brains, and we then are motivated to offer kindness to others. Reading our gospel today reminded me of this article, because Jesus holds a child to explain to the rivaling, arguing disciples that their who is the greatest debate does not in fact further the kingdom. We witness to the kingdom of God when we tend to the least, the most vulnerable. We further the kingdom of God when we strive to serve those in need. Scientific research affirms the teaching of Jesus. Do you not find that amazing? I have to lower my voice because as a woman, when I get excited, my voice goes up too high. Sorry. Scientific research affirms the teaching of Jesus. Our chests dilate. Our hearts are broken open. When any act of charity or gratitude is presented to our sight or our imagination, I find that just absolutely inspiring. And what I find so moving about our gospel today is that Jesus' passion prediction, he's predicting that he's going to be betrayed, killed, and rise again, that in the same section of his passion prediction, he is holding up a child, connecting the child to Jesus' very self. Those two things go hand in hand. Jesus, the Son of God, the firstborn of all creation, through whom all things were created, including the mountains. Thank you very much for that young man over there. Including the mountains and all the food. All things were created through him. Jesus is the Savior of the world. This one, he's predicting, will be betrayed, and he was betrayed. This one who did in fact die on the cross, this one who did in fact rise from the dead 3 days later, this Jesus teaches his disciples to counter their own rivalry with offering them an image of compassion in order to break their hearts open so that they might see the kingdom of God drawing near. Siblings in Christ, we have a purpose. We have meaning on this journey of life. We are here to offer kindness and compassion to the least among us. We are here to exchange our own egos, our own selfishness, for God's way of being in the world. We are here to turn our desires into God, in God's direction, towards the light, towards wholeness, towards abundant life. On this Sunday morning, hear God's goodness. On this Sunday morning, hear God's invitation. Hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's beloved creation. Gracious God, you gather congregations together by the power of your word. Bless leaders with the gifts of wisdom and discernment as they seek to make your church the community for which you long. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Creative God, blue whales and honeybees sing the goodness of the earth. Glaciers and deserts declare their greatness. Make us good stewards of our home for the generations to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, you raise up governments to protect the widow and orphan. Bless citizens with wisdom and discernment as they choose leaders. Inspire leaders to always seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, you desire health and wholeness. Reconcile the conflicts and disputes among us. Teach us to heal the trauma of racism and poverty. Break our hearts open to all those who suffer and mourn their loved ones. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Welcoming God, you place children among us. Teach us to honor the children in our midst and to pay attention to what they can teach us about who we are. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Welcoming God, thank you for this congregation where we have found a home. Make us restless as we seek new and creative ways to expand our loving invitation to all people who seek a community. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You surround us with a cloud of witnesses who announce the good news of abundant life to a sad and needy world. Make us a pilgrim people, always telling the story of your loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we command all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please offer one another a sign of peace.
Thank you.
God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance,
who is bread of life and bread of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Before the sending, we're going to do the litany of welcome for Pastor Larry. So, Pastor Larry, would you come forward?
A church family is constantly changing. Loved ones come to the end of their lives. Individuals come and go in our church life. It is important and right that we recognize these times of passage, these endings and beginnings. Today we welcome Pastor Larry Saito, whose time as our pastor for the interim begins. Pastor Saito, in the presence of this congregation, will you commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility and the promise to discharge your duties in harmony with the constitutions of the church?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you love, serve, and pray for this people of God, nourishing them with the Word and the Holy Sacraments, and lead them forward during this important time of change?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you lead this people of God in faithful witness to the Word and in making known the love of God through loving service among themselves and in this community?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, give you the power of the Holy Spirit so that you may perform them with strength and compassion.
Amen. Amen.
I ask all of you now, the people of the congregation, will you receive this messenger of Christ, Pastor Saito, who continues the work of bringing the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard him as a fellow servant of Christ and work with him in the ministry and mission of this congregation? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Will you pray for Pastor Saito and honor him for his work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in peace and unity of Christ? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
By your statements of commitment and the affirmation of this congregation, we welcome you as interim pastor of St. Luke's Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, thank you.
And now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.